This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 60, with video producer and founder of UR.video, Joey Chandler.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Everyone, welcome back again to the Angles of Latitude podcast. So glad you could be here today. This is a show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that they love and impacting people around the world. And every Thursday, we publish another conversation with a successful entrepreneur, expert, or artist about how they got to where they're at and how they've achieved their personal freedom. You know, it's our hope that this show will help you see what's possible out there by bringing you individuals who have already made the leap and are flying on their own. My name is JC Preston, and today's co-host is Layla Ramadian. We're part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people live charged lives by doing awesome work that supports a lifestyle that they've chosen. And this particular session is powered once again by our friends over at Fizzle. And you know, if you want a place where you can join over 1,600 members who do work doing something they care about, then you'll want to check out Fizzle. Whether you need training or just the support of a committed entrepreneurial community, they have it. 40 different courses and a 9-stage roadmap, as well as a great forum to answer questions, weekly office hours. I mean, it's all there. And since you're listening to this podcast, you can get access to it all for 5 weeks for free when you go to newinceptions.com/fizzle. And again, if you want to take advantage of that 5 weeks free Fizzle, you can go to newinceptions.com/F-I-Z-Z-L-E. All right. So on this session of the ALL podcast, Layla and I get the chance to sit down with a creator that actually is a listener of the show who we thought would be a great value to the audience. And his name is Joey Chandler, and he's the founder of a very unique little business called UR Video. And through this business, Joey helps people create short video montages or tributes for people who are going through landmarks in their life, birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, you name it. And what's really cool is that in these montages, tributes, friends of the subject get to see how they truly feel about the person. And it's a really great idea. Layla and I thought that it'd be great for you guys to all know about Joey and what he does. So if you want to do something special for someone in an upcoming holiday, wedding, or whatever, you could. In our conversations with Joey, we talk about how he started doing the montages in the first place, why he opted to go big online, even though this, you know, this type of thing is actually more of an offline sort of thing. You kind of think maybe you're neighborhood photographer or something might do it. That's not the case. And what Joey would recommend to folks who are looking for those great early clients. You know, if you're the type of person who keeps telling yourself that you're not properly trained to make a career out of something you love doing, then I think Joey's story is definitely going to empower you to commit to doing your thing. And sometimes we're not prepared to do the work we're meant to do, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that has to stay that way once we actually find what we're supposed to be doing. That all said, show notes are available at newinceptions.com/60, and I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I'm JC, and I'm joined again by our pal Layla. What's up, Layla?
Hey!
What's up?
I'm good. How are you doing, man?
Doing great, doing great. What's up in your life?
Well, I've just been going to bridal shows after bridal shows and sore every single day. And I just tried this new thing called Epsom salt baths. And so they've been absolutely amazing. But I've been doing good.
Epsom salts. What's that about?
Well, Epsom salt baths are really good for you because it has magnesium that your body needs. And actually, the earth today lacks magnesium for your body to absorb. So it's good to have magnesium that helps with muscle soreness, aches, and pains. And it helps you sleep better at night. And
Well, I was just going to say that I've taken Epsom salts and baths in the past for, like, you know, if they had, like, something on my skin or some sort of rash or something like that before. But, I've never heard it to be actually used on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'm using it on a regular basis right now just to kind of help, because I just finished a very intensive 2-month workout program. So I'm doing yoga now, and I'm using this time to stretch and, repair my muscles and restore and also sleep better. Because, you know, when you start a business, your mind just going and going, and I just can't shut it off. Mm-hmm. So I've just looked up some, you know, healthy remedies on how to sleep better without popping in a sleeping pill, which I don't take, to kind of help, you know, increase your melatonin in your body that allows you to sleep. So,
gotcha.
Because when I don't sleep, the next day is ruined. And then it just gets worse and worse, because then you're like, oh, I didn't sleep. Now I need to do work. Or I didn't get work done, and now I can't sleep. Yeah. So yeah, that's what's going on. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Just keeping busy. Actually releasing this is the day that I'm actually releasing Dane Maxwell's podcast, and a really exciting interview that is, I think it was like 1 hour and 20 long with wow, me putting the intro and the outro on, but he really brings it. And actually part of the reason why I'm really interested in talking to today's guest, because he's all about emotion as well, and that specific talk was just, I mean, he connected. And what Joey's company, Joey Chandler, he's our today's guest, and what his company does is that he actually is able to more or less encompass in what other people think in a person's life about that specific person, and delivers it for, like, anniversaries, birthdays, you know, all kinds of events, weddings, sort of things like that. And really it's just, you know, interesting in how, you know, and it'll inspire the person that is the subject of that video. And
right.
He's also started a newsletter that's pretty inspirational, which we'll get to talk about later. And just, you know, typically you don't think of as a videographer as being involved in helping people, you know, get a better view of themselves. But I think that what he does is much more than what other videographers might do at, say, really a wedding. Without further ado, we're just going to kind of bring him on to the show here. And Joey, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Joey, thank you so much for joining the show today. I'm really, really interested to learn more about what you do, because I also do videos for my fitness and, you know, inspirational. But when I heard about what I'm just hearing now, what you do, I'm really curious what we're going to cover today. So what were you doing before you got started, and that has led to where you are currently doing now?
So I'm a photographer, a family photographer. And I was it was actually early August, and my wife's birthday was coming up on birthday is mid August. And I, of course, was not prepared for her birthday. And I had, and she had actually done a video project for her mother, where she did what I call a kind of traditional historical video, where she got lots of clips from people and pulled things together and just, you know, did all sorts of stuff. And honestly, I mean, it turned out great, but by the end, it was like, it just took so much work for her that, you know, she was just, you know, it was kind of like, here, you know, with great love, and it was awesome, but she's like, you know, take this away. And while she was doing that, I just thought, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. So as her birthday was coming up, I just said, okay, I'm just going to send out a bunch of emails to her, you know, friends and family and coworkers, and I'm just going to ask them to respond back with a short video clip saying Sue is, and then three or four words.
Oh.
And the reason I chose three or four words is at the time, this was like 5 or 6 years ago, the software that I was using could only take 10 seconds of video. Mm. And so, but it was such a godsend that that happened, because what I found is that people can be really, really sincere for 10 or 15 seconds. But after that, when you start telling a story, it just gets much harder to keep it all together, and the videos drag. When you have clip after clip, 10 or 15 seconds, Sue is amazing, beautiful, you know, best friend, things like that, you just get this super emotional impact and people can really connect. And so we got all these clips together. We did a surprise party for her. You know, she was totally blown away. And then people started saying, hey, we do one for my grandma and my mother and so on and so on. And then we launched it as a business. And it was just kind of a side project of my photography business. And I launched it full time, I guess, a couple years ago now. Mm-hmm. And now we've done a few hundred of the videos. We have clients literally all over the world. And the way it works is they're all phone and email based. So I can do a video for anyone, anywhere in the world. So I had one woman organize a video. She was in Australia. Her best friend was turning 40 here in Northern California. And she had friends, if I remember correctly, like in South Africa. So we were just able to collect all these things together and we put it on a video. You know, you can imagine they just are totally blown away.
Hmm. Oh, that's amazing. And that's great. So it sounds like it just grew from one referral to another referral. And, you know, it's so true, because you want to, like right now I'm trying to make a video for my husband's 30th birthday, and I've been married a year now, and I wish that I had known about this, because then I could have made a bunch of other videos for my friends and, you know, and thanking them for what they've been doing for me, you know? But as a wedding fitness coach, I totally could see that being something that a lot of my clients would need, especially if they are, I don't know what your budget is, but it's just something unique.
Yeah, they make for an incredible gift. Where my videos really land is at the rehearsal dinner. Ooh. And what happens is it's oftentimes like the groom or the, maybe a sister of the bride or the mother of the bride, we'll do the video for the bride. And the groom, when you can imagine like the bride sitting there, does a surprise video, all these people saying these amazing things about her. And he's there having facilitated all this.
Oh.
He looks like a rock star. And
she's like, going to be like, baby, I love you so much.
And he looks good in front of all of her friends and all of the family. Like, it just, I got a text from a buddy of mine that did a video for, and he's like, man, I won my wedding. Like, it doesn't matter what happens now. I am done. I am a hero. Thank you.
I would love it if someone could record the person's reaction watching your video that you made them and the guy who facilitated that.
Yeah, that would be good. I haven't been able to set that up. I always want people to be in the moment. So like setting up cameras to film in the dark, because obviously you want to play it a little bit darker. I haven't been able to do that yet, but that would be awesome.
We'll ask someone to do it for you. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like with their iPhone. That's just
a thought. What we do is we always get I always try to get a response of the person that we did it for, you know, through the birthday or the wedding or the anniversary. And then we send that back out to everyone who contributed as a way to kind of wrap up the project.
Got it. Cool. Oh, that's amazing.
So you said that you had a photography business before you started doing this. Was that something that you had studied for, or doing on the side, or how did you get into photography?
Yeah, I taking pictures for a long time. Then when my son was born, honestly, I started taking a lot more photos of him. And then it was one of those things. People started asking me to, you know, take pictures of their kids and then their kids. And then turns out, and then the way that worked is I walked into my wife's best friend's house, and I walked in, and I'll never forget this. I looked at this one photo and I said, wow, that's a really good photo. It was of her son. And it took me a few seconds to realize that was my photo.
Mm.
and right then I was like, okay, I can be a photographer. I have something to offer. And
yeah,
we went with that.
That just came naturally then.
No, it took a lot of work.
Yeah, but still, it came naturally in the fact that you didn't have to like go to any courses or anything. You just learned it as you progressed down the path.
Yeah, I mean, but don't underestimate the amount of time that it takes to practice all of that.
Right. But again, when you started, it's just not like you were like, you know, you had like, again, Layla and I, right? Being trained as engineers, we're like, oh, you got to know everything first before you try solving the solution, you know, come and trying to find a solution.
Right.
And you just kind of just naturally went with it.
Yeah, the one thing that I've had, like, you know, if I look back all the way through my life, is I always look at things like, oh, that would be a cool picture. Mm-hmm. Like I grew up in the mountains in California and skiing, and I just always thought that would be a great picture. That would be a great picture, you know, seeing different things.
Yeah.
And then at some point that I guess that's the one part that's hard to, you can't really teach that, to have an eye for something.
Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
It is. It's really good because I started off with the photography too, and I don't know. In your opinion, with photography, would you say that it's a great profession to have, but it's nice to niche yourself in a unique way as you are right now, being a, I don't know, how would you call yourself, a videographer, photographer, memory maker? I don't know.
Yeah, right now I'm a video producer that does tribute videos. Is how I
tribute. Sell. Okay, that's the right word. Tribute. Yes, I love it.
I do think it's important to find what you're passionate about and what you can really deliver time in and time again to your clients. And like I do all families. I do very few weddings and for photos. But you gotta find that spot that really fits, that where you can deliver and that you really love doing. You know, there's some people I know who just love weddings and they just love them. And I'm good at weddings. I can take pictures, but I just don't love them at that same level. And you got to find that thing that you love to do, because at some point it's going to be work and you got to find real joy and, you know, you got to find something in it for you besides the work.
So do you still do photography full time now, or is this now what you do full time?
The videos are more full time. The photography is definitely, I have existing clients that I serve. But it's mostly the videography work.
That's good.
So let me ask you a question. I mean, I'm guessing that sometime you had a day job and then you were doing this all of a on the side. When did you know you were able to do this and then, you know, more or less cover all your bases? And then what other kind of hurdles did you have to deal with to make that transition?
Yeah, I got laid off.
Oh, really?
So it was,
well, that's an easy decision. I'm sorry.
I wish I was profound and had done all this planning, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But it was like, yeah, you don't have a job anymore. So it was like the next day I'm a photographer. That was, I mean, I had the business on the side, and so I had, you know, it wasn't like I was starting from scratch.
Yeah.
But it was it's time to make this happen now sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously I could have gone and looked for another, like, you know, a regular job, I'd say. But it was at that point I had taken enough photos and I knew I was skilled enough in the photography world to where I'm like, okay, I got, you know, it's one of those, you know, if not now, when moments in life.
Right.
And which don't always work out well, I'd say. I mean, that's definitely been some tough times, but you do have to, I think I'd be much more regretful looking back saying, I wish I would have done that.
Mm.
And the videos, when that came about, what really drew me to that is just, it has such a huge impact on people, not just the person receiving the video, but the person giving the video and then their entire community. It really allows for a much greater, a much greater involvement in mm-hmm. the person's entire community than say a single great photo.
Right. So what you're saying is that the more or less the universe told you that you were going down this path and you were like, sure. Why not?
It was, yeah, a kick in the butt, drop off a cliff, some version of that. Yes.
Yeah. Cool. So let's kind of talk about your video. I mean, so you started the website, you're making this more online sort of thing. What prompted you to, instead of being, you know, more of the local person, which it sounded like you were having a lot of great success being, Why make a website? Why start taking stuff online?
A couple reasons. One, be able to spend time with my son. Obviously, if you're traveling around, just shooting lots of photos, it's hard to be back for the weekends. That was one. And two, I just love the idea. When you get the reaction of someone hearing over and over again that people love them, it's amazing. Because what normally happens, right, is that you know, if you tell someone, you know, oh, you did a great job, or, you know, what a wonderful podcast or something like that, normally that those things just kind of bounce off.
Yeah.
Right. We have that brick wall that, you know, right, that says, oh, it's no big deal or whatever it is. But when you have 30 or 40 or 50 of your best people all saying, I love you in a whole bunch of different ways, that wall comes down and out comes tears and laughter and joy. And when you see that, it's just like, oh my gosh, like this has, like, it's incredible. And I didn't know anybody else doing this at the, and I still don't know any single person doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much fun to do. And it's so interesting that it was part logistics, but also like, it just makes a huge difference for the person, for their friends, their community. I was like, I just have to do it.
I love this. I love hearing your voice sound so passionate and exciting. It makes me I'm getting chills just hearing it, because I can tell you've received so much emotional, happy feedback from people who absolutely love what you're doing for them. That's just awesome. It's good to know that you're the only one in the world, or you're one of the few that does this too. So it makes you more unique. And I think that's awesome that you have found this unique thing, because everyone's trying to do that on their own. And that's just, it's just nice to know that there's someone that does that service.
Okay. So you had a lot of initial traffic, more to speak, in your local vicinity is what I was saying. It didn't seem like you had that much of a problem generating leads locally. Again, what made you go online?
I think I now have received contributions from every continent in the world except Antarctica, which is a goal. But because people don't live, you know, it's not like they, you know, it's not like, you know, grandma's, all her friends live here within a 20-mile radius where I can go out and video them.
Mm-hmm.
They're all over the country. Their sons and daughters and grandkids are all over the world. And this just allows for people to connect in a real simple, short, powerful way. And so it was never really a question like, should I go online? It was like, oh, this is online. There was no, it just immediately happened that way. It was always online.
So one of the things that you display in your videos is that you want to show people that they think they are more than what they think they are. And specifically, we've been talking about the fact that you do this by, you know, getting, you know, just people, different people's inputs into answering, is it specific questions that you use, or how do you prompt those people to, you know, you said the 5-10 seconds of, you know, talking about so-and-so and your different videos. How do you get that, those juices flowing for them?
Yeah. So I tried a bunch of different questions, and I came down to answer this, just say this. You know, person's name is, and then three or four words. And the reason for that is it doesn't matter what one person says. It matters that they contribute, and that everyone contributes.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest problem when you're doing like a video selfie is that if you ask someone to like answer a question that's, you know, complicated at all, they start thinking about it. And then they're like, is this the right answer? And how does my hair look? And oh no, and da 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 da, then they stop. And then they try it again, and then they get frustrated. Then they don't submit the clip. So I keep it super simple, because what happens is the people that need the kind of the guidance and structure, they respond, they love it. It's simple, they can do it, no problem. And then the people that are going to talk, well, they're just going to talk no matter what you tell them, and they're just going to, you know, they go over. But I can never direct them to say what they're going to say, because they're just going to say it. And I find this is super simple, as simple as possible, you know, three or four words, 10, 15 seconds. And that gets all of the emotion that you need, because it's not what one person says. It's the 30, 40 or 50 people all combined together that actually shows the person how important they are to all these people.
Cool.
So let's say that someone is interested in becoming a videographer. You know, how do they get started, Joey? You know, what is your advice for someone who wants to start, let's say, making a YouTube channel or making videos?
I mean, there's obviously the, like, just do it. There's just to get started, but you also gotta, you know, you gotta go practice. I mean, if the more you do it, I mean, you said you're doing videos, right?
Yeah.
The more you do it, the more you realize you just don't know about videography. And it is a real art form, especially videography, the editing, the lighting, all of that stuff. So if you can spend time with someone who actually knows, it's really good. Just producing yours and then constantly going, how can I make this better? How can I make this better? Obviously works.
Yeah.
The sound is so important in video. And that's actually one reason why I love my videos, because none of that actually matters. Because these are just someone saying, I love you to somebody. And whatever they say is fine. It's not beautiful at all. But yeah. when you're doing a true video, you know, production, and you're making, you know, something akin to a small movie, the sound matters, the detail matters, everything matters. And so you just have to practice a lot and work at it.
It's when people don't notice things that you know that you've succeeded, at least personally, with my experience.
Exactly. And, you know, and it's hard. I mean, I tip my hat to good videographers. They are, it is a true art form. And it's not just, you know, working, it's then going to the production, which is a whole nother art form in itself. That's why when you see movies, right, is you're like, what are all these people doing on a movie set? They're all helping that one movie, that thing get made. And when you're doing video, you're the entire set or the entire crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Gary Vee. You know, he does these Ask Daily Gary Vee. Well, not dailies, but at least weeklies. And it's amazing if you ever get the chance to see this, like the Periscope version of someone taping the recording and just seeing all the different people that are around the room as he's doing just that video. It's insane. Like, he'll have himself, maybe a guest, and then off to his left out of the, or the right, just off to the sides are like, I don't know, six people and what should be just maybe three people, you know? So it turns into a more or less a group of nine. And then it's like, so what are all those people doing? You know, and again, as you go down this path of like developing content, you start like, okay, well, probably one of them is making notes and another one is, you know, making sure that the audio is sounding fine. And the other one's, you know, making sure that no one's coming into the room or something like that. I mean, it just kind of blows my mind. And exactly what you were talking about, that what are all those other people doing?
Yeah.
There is, and I would say, like, if you're starting off with doing video, and this is I say for photography as well, is like building your team. Mm-hmm. Like, it is much, even if you're speaking alone on a camera, it's just you. If there's people in the room, it's so much easier to generate yourself and bring, you know, forth your, you know, your fullness, as opposed to if you're by yourself with your iPhone. I mean, you can, and people do it, but it really helps to have extra people around you. So one of the things I would say, especially for a starting off photographer or a videographer, is start building your team. You know, who are the people that you can work with, you can try things out with, test, you know, cry together, drink together, you know, all those people that, because they'll, when you have them in the room, that will bring energy and get, keep those creative juices flowing.
Yeah. And definitely people that are all, if you can, people that are all kind of doing their own thing too. Like, if you go on YouTube, right, and you see hear some of the bigger names and you start following them a little bit, you start realizing that, you know, they seem to be actually connected with each other. And it seems to me like a lot of the bigger, some of the bigger YouTube names that are out there that have really had success stemming from maybe the Fine Brothers. And then you look at their YouTubers React and you just realize how connected they are to those other people. And then you think, it's like, okay, well, I'm sure not all of those people flew in to do this one show. And so you then realize, okay, they must have all these people that live in their vicinity. And I think they actually do their work out of San Diego, if I'm not mistaken. And just to have that small community of people doing the same art that you're doing and be connected in that will amplify your own work so much more. I think.
Yeah. So, Joey, what kind of equipment is needed when you are a videographer? How did you start off?
Well, that's the beauty of my work, is that I literally don't own a video camera. I simply have people send in clips, and I'm more of a video producer than a videographer. And definitely out of respect to the true artists in that world, I don't call myself a videographer. I'm a producer. But if you go online, like what people do with an iPhone is ridiculous. Like it's just, yeah, is incredible. But the thing you have to have before any equipment, because you can spend a lot of money, you need to work on your vision. Like, what is it that you see? What is the story you want to tell? Why do you want to do it? All those kind of things internally will help you generate a more beautiful, compelling piece of work, whether it be photography or videography. You got to kind of do that internal work first. And then, because it is really easy to say, ooh, I'll buy this $5,000 camera and that will help me. And it will to a certain degree, but it won't make you great. It will just make you a little bit better than good. You got to work on that self, that vision, that passion, that whatever that is first. And you can be passionate with an iPhone and do incredible things. And at some point, you got to spend money.
Okay. So yeah, I think that's right. So you don't need to have a lot of equipment to start off with. You just need to have that vision and use the equipment you have, and then slowly make the money to invest in the equipment you need to have. It's smart that you say to not just throw all your money in, because in the photography world, where I originally started, for a short period of time, I remember hearing, do not buy that $7,000+ camera, because you will not make $7,000 quality photos if your technique and your vision's not good.
Well, there's two parts to this. So I used to sell, way back when, I used to sell bikes in a sporting goods store. And what I always found is that some people would come in and I'd be like, do I want to buy the expensive bike or the cheap bike? And I'd always say, buy the one that you're going to ride. Mm-hmm. If buying the expensive bike gets you out riding more, go do that.
Good point.
Expensive camera gets you out taking more pictures, go, it's worth the money. Buy the one that's going to use to get you out there doing things. Because it's not really about the camera, but you do got to get out of bed in the morning. If there's one that gets you going, do that one.
True. Very true. I love that. So Joey, how do you find those early clients for the people who are out there? How can someone get started? How do you find a good client that you know that could help you grow?
So in the video, for my videos, I just started doing my friends and family, and people started asking. And then it's inherently, I have an inherent social kind of connection, because I have 30 or 40 or 50 people connect, contributing to the video. Then there's one or two of them people become clients and so on and so on. And so I benefit from that. But I think you really got to work on, there is a business to being a photographer and being a videographer. And there's some really great, how to grow a business courses that you need to focus on, you focus on and learn those skills before you jump in. I mean, honestly, I got kind of thrown into the forces of being a photographer. And looking back, it probably would have behooved me to take 6 months or a year to really fine tune the business part first and then do it. But, life doesn't always work out the way you want it to. So I do think you have to say I want to create an art, but you're also like, okay, what are my business structures? What is my infrastructure? How am I going to do billing? How am I going to do marketing? All of those things matter. And what it does is, when you get all those things nailed down and they kind of go into a nice flow, it allows your creative juices to free up and really be there for your client, as opposed to wondering, oh, I got to make that call or this or that.
Well, and I think that one of the things that you got to do is also answer your true calling, really. Which it sounds like you did. I mean, and again, we were talking about how the universe basically kicked you in the right direction. You've been able to find your worth. And again, the recent conversation with Dane, that was one of the big things that he really, really hammered down. And I was editing the conversation yesterday and putting it out today, he just kept people need to find their worth. And when they find it, then they can, be happy with the world. one of the things that you are actually doing is putting out an inspirational daily newsletter at this point. And I'm really curious is about making the connection between, you know, what you're currently doing, why you thought it would be an interesting newsletter to start, and how you're coming up with your topics.
Yeah, so just to be clear, these are awesome. Like they are so great. And all I've done is it was about 6-7 weeks ago, and it was honestly a marketing exercise. You know, there's the marketing exercise where you say, okay, I'm going to cut off a sliver of my business and give that away for free, and then allow, you know, with the idea of inviting other, you know, coming in and getting people buying more.
Right.
And so I was, you know, looking at my business, and my business really isn't about taking it's not about like how to do a better video, you know, iPhone video. That's not my business. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there's a million really people who are much better at that than I am. But what I did have is I had all these, you know, I had thousands of these testimonials. You are this, you are amazing, you are beautiful, you are brilliant, you are sassy. And I thought, why don't I just send these out as a marketing campaign? Mm. And so I went through, I collected, I think I have about 300 now of my favorite ones. You know, I have them all on a list, and it's just it just goes out every day. It's an email. And along the way, because part of the video is recognizing that there's something in yourself, but also in the community, like who you are. You think yourself as one way, but the community thinks of yourself as something else. And, you know, there's power in recognizing that there's a difference, and generally more than you think. And so I started asking three questions. So I send these emails out every day. Like today is You Are Determined. And I ask, where have you been this in your past? So not that you feel determined every day when you wake up, but just at some point in your life, you're like, hey, I was determined then. Who do you know that is determined? Because again, if you can see it in yourself and see it in someone else, it elevates that word for you and gives you a greater sense of that, what that word really means. And then how can you use it today? Mm-hmm. So basically what happens is you say something nice about yourself, you say something nice about somebody else, and then you take some action. And I have to tell you, it has completely transformed my life. Because like now, I can go from my... I can drop my son off at school. I can go to the dry cleaner, the corner store, my business, my son's softball, baseball team, my softball team, my neighbors in the back home, all the people who are or talking about these words, where they're saying, hey, I'm brilliant today, or where have I been brilliant? And it is awesome. Cool. And so where it fits, it actually is a transition between two. It just shows that we're more than we think we are. Yeah. See, all of us, we think our life is a certain way, but it occurred to me right away when the very first video when I showed to my wife, Sue, is that, you know, she thought her life was a certain size, but her life is so much bigger than that. And it occurred to me that, you know, we take all these courses and classes and workshops to try to become something so that we can do that thing. You know, if I was just more of this, then I could become that photographer I want, or if I was more of this, I'd be that businessman. But the fact is that you already are. And I can prove it because, you know, I can do a video and have 100 people say 100 different things about you.
Right.
And if you can just remember that and get present to that, like maybe you're not a perfect at that, but you're enough to take the next step. Huh. And so honestly, what happened was, is that I started talking to coaches and trainers, and I'm like, hey, I'm seeing this thing. I don't know if it's working out, or, you know, this is what I'm seeing. I don't quite understand it. And I never quite explained it right, because I'm like, dude, do you want to do a course about this? And no one ever took me up. So I actually said, okay, I'm just going to create a course. So I now have a course it's an hour-long course where we just help people see that they're more than they think they are, and they can take the next step and do whatever it is they need to do. Because the idea is that we have enough knowledge in the world. You know, like it's not like we need another course. We just need to do what we already know to do.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
And so the emails are like a bridge between the videos and then this course, and they're just awesome. I went into my dry cleaner yesterday, and I have a video of it. We can maybe share it. But he's like, oh, you make me feel like $1 million. Like, this is a dry cleaner. Like, this is walking in the guy that you never, I mean, you talk a little bit, but he's like, oh my gosh, thank you. That's so awesome. You know, and it's just a different world when people start using these words and start realizing that they are more than they think they are. And then they realize that their friends are more than they think they are. And it just expands everything.
Do you have any other more specific examples of that? Like, you're talking about the dry cleaner, you had your wife.
I have my wife. Well, it's an amazing, if you have kids, I don't know if you guys have kids, like at dinner table now, we talk about the word. So I had an incredible conversation with my son about sincerity. And he went and he shared about one of his friends. He's like, you know, he's always really sincere when he says something. And, you know, it's just awesome. And I said, look, oh, can I tell his mom? And he's like, no. And I'm sincere about that. So that's great. And then just people, where was it? This was actually an awesome one. This is my a mom story. So I, you know, you have to take it with a caveat because, you know, my mom, you know, she loves me, of course. But she was saying, you know, Joey, I don't think the words are working. They're not really working that well. And I'm like, huh, really? And she's like, yeah, I just don't, you know, I'm not have time. And I'm like, but is there anything interesting? And she's like, oh, well, there's this one time. She's like, the word vision, it wasn't the word, but it's in the little description I give. And she's like, you mentioned vision. And that got me thinking about this guy that I work with who they're on a professional board together. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, he has really great vision. He's been really moving the company, you know, this particular board forward. And so she said, you know, I just thought of that. I called him up and I told him, you know, just said, hey, I thought of you. And it turns out he was actually having surgery for cancer the next week. And they were able to talk because my mom actually had some health issues earlier this year. And they were just able to, you know, connect over that. And she said, you know, since then, our relationship has moved forward. And I'm like, mom, how long have you known this person? 20 years. So I'm like, mom, so a single word in a single email with a single conversation moved a professional relationship of 20 years forward.
Wow.
And she's like, yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
So I'm like, mom, you got to give me a little credit here. But it's things like that. If you try it, it is so incredible when you start to get present to yourself, to your community, and then taking some action. It's mm-hmm. such a simple thing, and it works so well.
Wow. That's cool. You were talking about your course in the midst of that. When are you looking to have that out?
So it will be, when this airs, it will be out. And it's called Funk to Flow. And we help people move from funk to flow in an hour.
Cool. And what do you see happening in 2017? Anything yet?
Yeah. So we're going to do a couple things. We're going to work on allowing the people to more self-produce their videos. Mm-hmm. That will be happening, so that there'll be for the people that want to kind of DIY it themselves, we'll have a platform for that. And then along with kind of a curated version. And then the video, your emails, my goal is to have that in the, you know, right now we're at like 200 people, and my goal is to have that at many, many thousands of people, because I just think the world would be a better place if everyone woke up and heard that they were awesome in the morning. Cool. And then the course is really, it's designed for, you know, that moment in the seminar where you're like, oh, this is great, and here's all these things I can do, but then you're like, oh, I got to go do them.
Right.
You know, so the course is designed specifically for that moment. And it just helps people take the next step, not the full vision where they got to go, but just the next step. So the plan is to partner with seminar leaders, like, say, you know, somebody who does a, you know, Microsoft certification program. He needs his people to complete the course so they get value out of the course, so they become fans. And so they buy more courses and tell more people about them. And it turns out a lot of people don't complete online courses. And I think I can help with that.
That's good to know, because I'm doing 3 online courses, and I'm trying to strategize my time in a way that I can, A, reach out to my clients, talk to my clients, and then make time for personal development. Mm-hmm. And it gets every single day, it gets very discouraging knowing that, hey, I did not get ahead of myself. Some other, you know, I see other people have, and they have more on their schedule than I do. And how come I'm not getting ahead of myself?
Yeah.
So I feel you. Like, I'm trying to make a newsletter. I'm trying to collect 100 emails. I'm trying to figure out what to produce without having people unsubscribe from me. So, but I liked what you said regarding creating an infrastructure first before you reach out to everybody, simply because if you do grow, you don't want to lose your quality of work.
Yep. Yeah, you do. I mean, it's tricky, right? Like, you want to build your infrastructure, but at some point you just got to get out there and do it and mm-hmm. learn along the way. Cause you know, I'm sure, you know, even doing this podcast, you're like, if we only knew this now when we started, things would be much different, but you never would have learned it if you hadn't started.
Right.
That's right.
So like you learn and apply, like JC would say to me.
Yep.
Because I know a lot of people that invest so much time in personal development, but they do not execute.
Yep.
And I see that as just being a full-time student and not applying their skills to the real world as they go.
Well, yeah. And honestly, that's my course. I got to the point where I was like, I had some version, my version of my I suck voice says, don't even bother, you're going to quit anyway.
Oh boy.
You know, and so I kind of gave up educating myself and stopped growing because I had that voice in my head. And it was through the videos and through the emails that I started to say, wait a minute, if I say everybody else is more than they think they are, then maybe, just maybe, that applies to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I started going, and then I'm like, wait a minute, I don't have to be more of anything. I just have to apply what I already am and do what I already know to do to whatever it is that, you know, whatever it is that's going next. And it turns out, if you're not trying to convince anybody of anything, if you're not trying to hype them up, if you're just trying to remind them that they actually have a lot of skills and abilities, you can do a really great course in a really short period of time mm-hmm. that they can then apply to, you know, because, you know, we spend thousands and thousands of dollars on personal development. And, you know, we don't use it. I mean, that's the biggest thing. So I want to help people use the course that they've already bought and then get the most out of courses that they're, you know, going to take in the future.
Perfect. I love that.
So, Joey, we are hitting here at close to the end of the hour. So that actually signifies that we're in signifies. That actually signals the fact that we are going to do the rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm set, ready to go.
All right. So, first question. What are three of your favorite books that you like telling other people about?
So there's two new and one old. The first one is the Tidying Up book, and I forget who it's by. It's called The Magic of Tidying Up, and it teaches you.
I love that book.
It's awesome, like crazy awesome.
I love that book.
Is your socks and underwear folded up, and do you talk to your shoes?
My video that's coming out today is about how I incorporated different principles of minimalism and living light to my life, and I came up with my own method, and one of them is my book, is the book that I refer to people to read, is the Marie Kondo method.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah, it honestly has totally changed my life. It, you know, having it, you actually interviewed, there was a woman maybe just released last week, but she talked about the clothing.
Yeah.
You know, have
summer.
Summer.
Yeah. And what the Tidying Up book really taught me is to be mindful about what it is I'm buying. Like, okay, I just want to go shopping, but I'm going to buy this item to, and it's going to fit in this place in my house, and to be very, you know, specific. And to have that conversation with, like, kids, you know, like, what is it you're buying? Where are you going to use it? Where is it going to go? That kind of thing is just great.
And oh, yes.
So that's one of my favorite books. And then I just read, Being Mortal. It's about a gentleman. It's on the Oprah book, but it's basically about a doctor whose father passed And so you want to explore like what it's like in just in the end of life kind of industry, and how it, it's how challenging it is for everyone. Because one of the things that we didn't mention, but my videos, we also do end of life videos. So we do videos for people who are before the funeral, so that they can see it before they pass, or and when they're in hospice. And those videos are just insane. Because they basically people get to say what they want to say at the funeral, but before, so the person who's passing can see that, and they're incredible.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that really highlights that we as a country and maybe as a world, but we have a very, very weak relationship with death. Mm-hmm. You know, we push it away as far as we can, yeah. And that's what this being mortal book is kind of bringing it in. Like, no, let's talk about death. Like, I used to say, if and when death happens, as if there's an if.
Yeah.
But to talk about it and to say like this is part of life and to plan for it and all those sorts of things. That's just a great book. And, my favorite book all time, Cider House Rules by John Irving. Just, I can pick it up most any time and read a book. I just love that book. So those are my three. Cool.
What is one gift that you like giving others?
That I like giving others? I don't know if this is a gift per se, but it's an idea. It's the start of potluck. I've run this community potluck in my neighborhood every Thursday for the past 5 years.
Mm.
We meet every Thursday from between March and November during daylight savings, and it's open to anybody. Everyone shows up. You know, some days you bring lots of food. Some days you bring you bring wine and chips because that's all you can deal with. And it's absolutely the most amazing thing you could ever do.
Gotcha.
So I say everybody should start a potluck in your neighborhood. There's nothing better than breaking bread with friends over time.
Yeah, there were actually my neighborhood when I was back at Purdue when I was in, when I was just about to get out of my undergrad, they would have a neighborhood party and everybody in that area knew each other. It was kind of interesting. Yeah. 'Cause you don't see that much anymore, really.
No, that's what I'm saying. I literally, my wife calls me the potluck pimp because I'm always just like, hey, you're going to start a potluck? Who's starting a potluck? Because it's so, if you think about it, all of our issues in life, like big, we have these huge government, nationwide issues, but they all got to start at the community level, at the local level.
Yeah.
And that's got to start with people coming together. And we don't do that. And the best way to do that is to, share food over time. And everybody eats on Thursdays. Food always tastes better outdoors. So you might as well go to a park and just have it there.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Totally.
Has that also helped with you doing the emails and doing the potluck? Has that also helped you indirectly with you as a entrepreneur?
Well, you know what it does? It gives me confidence in myself because I have mm-hmm. people. And I think that's one of the biggest things. I haven't been great at building, people around me and the potlucks and these videos. Like I now have people that I can call when I need help.
Gotcha.
Just, people got my back and I put enough good vibes out into the world that if needed, it comes back. And so that's a huge, huge benefit.
I love that.
If there was something that you thought all high school students should know, what would it be?
Say two things. One, friendships matter. Keep your friendships. They're worth keeping over time. It's the thing that, when I do the videos, especially the end of life ones, you can just see the power of the long-term friendships and the adventures that they had together. I think that's, keep those friendships over time. And that the details matter. That, do your work, but do it with a level of quality and passion and watch those details. I think if you do those two things, you'll go pretty far in whatever it is that, assuming you're going to go after your passion, those two things will help you in that.
Cool.
What's one thing that is under $100 that has changed your life?
I have a potluck backpack. It has it's like a little picnic backpack, and it has my plates in it and my forks and my cups and all that stuff. And I just pick it up every Thursday and go to the potluck.
That's awesome.
It is totally great. Yes.
Oh, cool. Now, what are three truths you've learned over time that you would like to share with others?
Three truths. So my mom said when I was, I don't know, must have been like 15, like follow your passion, do what you're passionate about. And I, of course, said, no, you can't do that, which I regret to this day. But so follow your passion, you know, find your passions. My wife has taught me that friendships matter. She is best friends with her friend from kindergarten. And it is just, you know, their relationship is just incredible. And then that you are way more than you think you are. That whatever you think you are, you can handle whatever the next step is. And you're more than enough to take that next step.
It's beautiful.
What are some action steps that you would give someone if they were interested and, well, really kind of making being a difference maker, like it sounds like you are in their small community?
Well, first, start a potluck. It's the hands down, the best thing you could do. There is nothing better for your community than start a potluck. Because you have to eat on Thursdays. Everyone eats on Thursdays. Start a potluck. Go outdoors. It's better for you. Kids play, parents drink. It's just the best thing you can do in your community. You make friends. It's not about politics or this or that. It's just simply about connecting with people in your neighborhood over food, over time. Best thing to do.
So here's my question for you. How should someone be able to start a potluck? Like,
You grab your whatever you're eating on Thursday for dinner. You walk down to the park and you sit at a table and say, I'm starting a potluck. And then people come by and you say, hey, do you want to share some food? And then they come by and then they say, next week we're going to start another potluck. And then they come back and you just invite everybody you meet and you make it so that everybody can invite everybody. And you just keep going and you just plan that you have dinner on Thursdays. Because, you know, Thursdays, you know, by the end of the week, you kind of don't like each other anyway in the families. And, you know, it's best to get out and have some fun.
True.
So.
Awesome.
I like that. I'm gonna definitely consider that because maybe would you say setting it out through I moved to the area, so like maybe a meetup post.
I started this when I first moved to a neighborhood, and we would go to the park with my son who was just in kindergarten at that time. And so whenever I saw another mom or dad with a kid, I said, "Hey, we're doing a potluck." So wherever it is that you meet people, you just say, "We're doing a potluck." And the trick is you do it at the same time, at the same place. So it's, again, it's simple so that people can just remember like, oh yeah, they're doing that thing on Thursdays at the park. And then you just go.
Got it.
Okay.
And it's certain times of the month too. Certain times of the year, not every month.
Every Thursday. Every week.
What if it gets cold? I mean,
So every week during the whatever, obviously you can't do it in the snow. But I guess you could. So whatever works for you and your time frame. So we do ours from March through November because that's when the daylight savings is. So our last couple are right now, and when it turns dark, then we stop, and then we'll turn light again in March, and then we'll just start back up.
What time do you usually start yours?
5-ish to 8-ish is there other times.
That's awesome. I'm gonna definitely look into that. Thank you.
What are four pointers that you would suggest to someone to find something that they're already doing out of just something that they like to do, but they could potentially make a business out of it like you did with your videos?
Yeah. So the first thing to do would be to whatever that is, you know, whatever that passion is to go find, you know, 10 other people who are doing that same passion and figure out what they did. Mm. I mean, that's the fastest way to do it. And if you can, you know, intern with them, if you can't talk, but there's, you know, read, whatever it is, get around people who are doing what you've already done, that you want to do. And the photography world is generally hugely supportive of each other. So that's, I've always found that to be great. But you know, you got to find it. And of course you can also connect with people all over, you know, the world.
Right.
And then I don't know if a business plan is the right thing, but you do need to make the next steps. At some point, you got to say, I'm going to do this. But of course, you always need more money than you think. And you got to have a structure. And the other part would be is that you need to have a plan for when things don't work, because they're not going to work. And you should plan for it not to work, so that when they don't work, you can move through them as fast as possible.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, Joey, thanks again for coming on today's show. And people want additional help or they just want to find you, where can they go?
Yeah, you go to youare.video. It's youare.video. And all the information there, you can sign up for the emails and there'll be information about the courses there. And everything is all set to go.
All right.
Thanks, Joey. This has been great. I really have learned a lot today.
Thank you. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And there you have it, girls and guys. I hope you enjoyed that discussion with Joey. You can tell he's a super fun guy, and I really think he fits the niche or niche that he has found for himself. Also, if you're in a neighborhood that you don't know anyone, try a potluck like he recommended. You know, it sounds like a lot of fun. And I know, again, that the neighborhood that I was in during my undergrad days really enjoyed their yearly, it wasn't every week, but a yearly party to check on each other and see how everybody was doing. You know, if you want to connect with Joey yourself, you can do just that by going to the show notes at newinceptions.com/60. Show note extras for this session include a few videos that Joey has produced, a reaction video of one of the recipients of his work. And this guy was a kind of a tough guy by the name of Coach Chad, but you could really tell he felt it. And as well as a video that kind of introduces the course that he was talking about during the conversation, Funk the Flow. So those will all be there in the show notes. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. And as usual, if you've been listening to the show for a while, let us know what you think. You can always leave a review on iTunes or send us your emails and suggestions at heyguys@newinceptions.com. And also, don't forget to like us on Twitter and Facebook. In next week's chat, I'm doing a solo chat with a career coach by the name of Joe Wu Rutowski. And I wanted Joe to be on the show because I feel that he does a great job in helping people figure out what they want to do next in their career. You know, and while I focus on helping people start their own business, Joe focuses more on helping people find the right job. And as many of you know, my wife is in HR, and this is actually a topic that comes up pretty regularly between the two of us. So I really wanted to get an expert in to discuss how people can find what's right for them, and of course, how he became a career coach himself. Again, that's all coming up in session 61. But as far as session 60 goes, that's pretty much it. Thanks again for joining Joey, Layla, and myself, and whatever you're doing, dig in, have fun, take care, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.